the operational expenditure on networks, and in fact in IT in general, exceeds the capital expenditure by probably 2 to 3 times in the enterprise. And the best way to address this issue is by actually through automation. And Juniper Networks has this initiative which we call the New Network, which comprehensively looks at not just the operational expenditure, but the capital expenditure as well, and also tries to inject innovation into the networking world to address the cost side of the equation as well as the benefit side.
Well, what network functions now are not automated that should be? Because most people think of networks as the result of automation through computers.
Well, the pieces of the network that are not automated are fundamentally the running of the network, the maintaining of the network, doing the inventory of what parts of the network actually exist, deploying security in the network in a policy-based way, actually taking care of the computers that are sitting at the endpoints of the network. Very few of these things are actually fully automated today, surprising as that may seem. Computer technology advanced very, very rapidly, and the costs came tumbling down. And as a result of those costs coming down, computers started to get distributed all over the world. Individuals started to own computers. Certainly corporations started to own computers. And the networking industry was actually just a little bit behind the computing industry in its application of high technology. And as a result, you've ended up with a very, very highly distributed world, one which is very complex to administer and to operate. And the whole thrust of cloud computing is to try to reverse that trend a little bit by centralizing computing and storage resources, but yet deliver the services to end users anytime, anywhere. And that will be done through automation.
So if I'm the Department of Defense, for example, I have operations in 24 time zones, millions of people literally throughout the world, and I have probably hundreds, thousands of different networks operating. How can the new network concept change all that paradigm of infrastructure that DOD spends, just as an example, DOD, billions on every year?
Well, the DOD is a great example of an organization that can benefit a lot from this thrust of the new network and the phenomenon of cloud computing. Fundamentally, the idea of cloud computing is that you have services, you have infrastructure for computing and storage, which is consolidated into a small number of very, very large-scale data centers. We call them mega data centers. And then you build out a network that allows you to deliver information and information services to users anytime, anywhere. It might be a warrior in the battlefield. It might be an administrator sitting in their office. It might be a worker who is traveling and is in a hotel. And all of these information services can be delivered in a real-time way and in a secure way, which is very important for the Defense Department, through some of the initiatives that we are undertaking with the new network.
We're talking with Pradeep Sindhu. He is the Chief Technology Officer and a founder of Juniper Networks. It seems almost as if the networks that we have now were built on a model that goes back to the earliest days of computing, where terminals were all over the world and there are wires going to them. And now we have the wireless piece for the mobility and the delivery of information to remote areas. So it seems as if there's almost two types of networks in the world fundamentally that we're trying to integrate, and that seems expensive and inefficient. So how does wireless and wired come together in the next generation of networking?
That's exactly right. We have had, historically, we've had many, many different networking technologies, many kinds of wired technologies, and many kinds of wireless technologies. And the general trend that you see is that these technologies are converging. It's not as though wired and wireless technologies will completely converge, because wireless technologies are trying to solve the problem of mobility. But the bulk of the network infrastructure that underlies these will be common, with only the very last, the so-called air gap, that'll be different in the wired and wireless cases.
So for an example, say, take somewhere like Afghanistan, where there's really not much infrastructure at all. How would you see that changing in the way that data gets out to those remote areas, data that might originate in a fort or a base here in the United States?
Well, for an area where which does not have large population centers and which is a real-time battlefield, for example, it is completely infeasible to put in wired infrastructure. And so almost all the communication that happens will happen wirelessly. This may be through the use of satellites and satellite links. It might be through the use of distributed sensors command posts which are out in the battlefield. So there's a mixture of technologies that gets used for communications in such theaters.
And getting back to the cost of networking, just summarize for us the ways you see that networking costs will come down in some exponential way to change the ability to get the most value out of networks.
So there are really two ways in which this can happen. The first one is that the capital cost of the infrastructure, if you build universal infrastructure as opposed to infrastructure that is built one per service, you now benefit fully from advances in technology, which actually drops the cost of the underlying technology exponentially over time, the so-called Moore's Law. And then the other way in which you can benefit is if you apply more and more automation, that is, you remove tasks that are done in a complicated way manually, what you're doing is you're decreasing the cost by applying automation to things. So you get, double bang for the buck by applying technology to these problems.
And those applications for automation, will those be built by the networking companies or will they be built by third-party software developers? How does that get into the ecosystem?
So one of the key things that Juniper is trying to do as part of the new network that we are trying to build is that we are providing open software platforms that allow not only Juniper's engineers, but engineers in other companies, third parties, as well as customers, to develop software on top of the equipment that we provide, on top of equipment other people provide, to actually automate the running of networks and the management of networks.